Hello and welcome to the second ever I Play Red podcast.
Yay!
Rob still hasn't done me some fresh music intro music, so we just go straight into it.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no music. So if that's what that was the highlight of the previous podcast, then I'm sorry. You might as well tune out now.
All right. Bye.
Bye, yeah.
We've just come back from UK Games Expo.
2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Just.
It feels like it.
Well, welcome home. I hope you had a good time because I did.
Good. Welcome home.
So you went up on Thursday, didn't you?
Yep, I went up afternoon on Thursday.
Where all the cool kids go up, don't they?
Yeah, the cool kids go up to do gaming. Some of us go up to work. So I went up and set up for Board Game Guru.
Other board game retailers are available.
And then in the evening, I went to the press preview.
Because you're in a band.
In the band.
I'm in the band.
Normally, the press preview is Friday morning. First day was quite nice. There was a lot more room. Felt a bit less stressed because everyone wasn't trying to run off to their stand for show open on Friday morning.
So previously, I think you've explained to me they only normally have about an hour before show opens.
I don't know. It never feels long enough. And because it's the show open day, inevitably there's delays. And then it closed the same time as the show opened. So the smaller stands were all kind of packing up and rushing off early.
And other exhibitors have already sold all their stock to all the other exhibitors. So there's no stock left for any of the like real punters for Friday through Sunday, right?
Yeah.
What did you see? What did you see at the press preview?
Lots of stuff that I already knew about and we'd already covered.
So, what was that? Last one in?
Last one in. Currently on Kickstarter. I saw the new artwork for Darwinning by Dragon Dawn Productions.
I like Darwinning.
New artwork is lovely. So nice.
It's not to shame the previous artwork, but the artwork just goes that one step higher. You know, like you start lower, and you go a bit higher. And it's betterer. That's the word I was looking for. It's betterer.
Betterer.
Cool. So they weren't the only things you saw at the press preview, right?
I saw Oligarchy.
Seen them in town.
Yep. What else did we look at? Oh, that game that I told you about.
Oh, that one. Serengeti,
that had some very nice artwork. They've got an expansion for the base game coming soon on Kickstarter.
So that game's already out?
Base game's already out, but they've got an expansion and they're currently working on a dice game.
Dice game, card game, deck builder. You've got to have all varieties, otherwise you're not a board game franchise, right?
Yeah. Saw the new Seven Wonders expansion,
ooh,
Armada, which is due for release at Essen.
Now, I'm quite excited about that. You didn't tell me that. I only kind of noticed that in the photos when you came back.
Yeah, we like Seven Wonders.
I like Seven Wonders, and I know neither of us really liked Jewel because it was a two-player. It was two-player. Because it's a Jewel.
Yeah. Ta-da, the clue's in the name. But, you know, if you're going to play two-player, don't play Seven Wonders. Play something else. There's lots of good two-player games out there.
But we don't play any of them because
because we have friends.
Yeah, we got two friends.
Well, we could both sit there and play, like, two-player games.
Both keys at the same time. So, I don't know any two-player games we do play regularly, other than
Trambon. We like Trambon.
Well, I like Trambon, because I always win.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
So I'm surprised we haven't sold it by now.
Like Patchwork?
Oh, I don't need to play that because you've won. So off we go. You like Patchwork?
Yeah, I like Patchwork.
Isn't that the last Uwe that really kind of did it for us?
Feast Rodin's okay.
It's a bit of a monster, though.
It is. There's a lot to it for the game. Escape the Dark Castle.
They were
at the press preview,
yeah,
showing off the new expansions that are currently on Kickstarter.
Triple whammy of expansions.
Yeah. We like Escape the Dark Castle.
So what do the new expansions add?
Loads more bosses, characters, stuff. Loads of stuff. Loads more things.
Any more colours? Because they're mostly black and white.
Still all black and white.
Ah.
But that suits the game.
See, back in the olden days when they didn't have colour, that's the effect they're going for.
Yeah, they're trying to be ye oldie castle, black and white.
Do you think that saves money?
Probably does.
What's that?
We saw De Vere there with the Goblin Game. What was the Goblin Game?
Gretchen's.
I've got a copy of that. So there'll be a walkthrough coming up for that. That was fun. I made the guy build the red Jeep. I played a round of this.
Deaths of Athazar.
Deaths of Athazar. That was nice. Quite like that.
Is that a fellow called Athazar who's just very...
unlucky in life.
Walking down the street, slips on a banana, falls down a manhole.
This seems to be the story of my life, but yeah, let's not talk about me falling over.
Lands on his face.
Yep. Yeah, loads of stuff. Almost too much to see, to be honest. Lots of stuff that I then saw later at the show, to be honest.
Well, I'd hope that they did the press preview and then went on to exhibit somewhere else and sell all their stock.
So then, Friday morning, you drove up.
I did. I woke up very late. I was supposed to get up at 5:15 and got a phone call from James about 5 to 6 going, hello.
I've never known you to oversleep, so I'm quite impressed.
You're impressed that despite oversleeping by 45 minutes and having to pick up someone else and load the car, I still got there by 9.
Ish.
9-ish.
Yeah.
I haven't even packed my suitcase. Does that surprise you?
No. So, yeah, Rob came up Friday morning. And what did you do?
I arrived to a fully set up stall for Board Game Guru, which I understand you're partly guilty of. And the stall was actually full. And by the end of Saturday, it was so empty, there weren't even any tumbleweeds. We'd sold them.
Right. Well, it was so empty that you were sat playing Rhino Hero Saturday afternoon.
Not because we were desperate and had to play anything, because I like Rhino Hero. But yeah, we were just playing games. In fact, the only thing we hadn't sold out of by Saturday was crisps and dairy milk.
Why not?
Probably because they didn't have a food license or something.
Oh, well. You know, he might have made a bit more money if he'd considered that as well.
Yeah, I mean, everyone needs crisps.
So, one of the first things I picked up was the new Century.
You picked it up.
Yeah,
Before the show started.
Before the show, but don't tell anyone.
We played
that Thursday night.
If you don't tell me, I won't tell you.
Okay. We played that Thursday night, in fact. With Ryan Dan.
I'm going to ask you if it's any good, but I know because I've played it, but...
Is it any good?
Is it any good?
I don't know. Is it any good? You played it. You tell me.
Well, I needed a quick reminder of
Spice Road.
Spice Road. That first game they came out with. So the new game adds...
Boats.
Not roads. Boats. No, it is like a little island made up of tiles. And I guess you do have roads and boats. Or ports.
Ports and boats.
And you're kind of just like moving around the board in much the same way that you would buy market cards where you kind of drop spices, you know, not very good merchants in that they're dropping spices as they travel down
these
roads.
They've got holes in the bottom of their boats.
There's a hole in my shoe which is letting out spice.
Maybe it's a dodgy spice cart, who knows. I'm interested in putting the two games together and seeing what happens. Though we did need to refresh on Spice Road. So now we've refreshed on that, we could put the two together.
Well, now that we've exhausted all the possibilities by playing the follow-up once, I think we're ready to launch into smashing them together into
one giant century.
Is it a bit like Voltron? You're going to get like five different games, but five century games.
I think there's going to be three. Sorry. So it's kind of like Voltron with a limp.
One arm, one leg. So it's a pirate game, right?
Yeah, totally.
So that was your first purchase, and that was on Thursday.
Yeah, that was my first official purchase of the con. Or should I say your first official purchase of the con was Petrichor.
Oh, yeah.
Which we don't talk about.
Well, we are talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
So I was supposed to back that on Kickstarter and...
Failed.
Yeah.
Well, basically, that was on Kickstarter the same time as Brass. And I wanted both but couldn't afford both.
And I forgot. I agreed to buy Petrichor and I forgot.
Yeah. So that was the first thing I went and bought.
So the edition that you bought?
Yeah.
Kickstarter edition?
No.
No?
No, it didn't come from Kickstarter.
No, but was it the Kickstarter edition?
No, because it didn't come from Kickstarter.
Okay.
So I'm going to cry forever over the fact I didn't get a Kickstarter edition.
But it's the same game with exactly the same components and maybe...
But it's not the Kickstarter edition and that's your fault and you should forever feel bad. And then we bought some cheap stuff from Paul at Board Game Guru.
Yeah, Paul at Board Game Guru was just releasing games into the wild for almost
nothing.
I think a few, maybe three or four people cottoned on and therefore bought everything.
Right.
He had a copy of Thunder Alley for £25.
Welcome to
Centreville for £25, and I kept on saying to people, if that's still there at the end of the con, I'll buy it.
Because you knew it wouldn't still be there.
Exactly.
Right. I bought Rise to Nobility from him.
What's that about?
Farming game in there.
Well, you go through the ranks of being a little farm boy tickling chickens. through to being a knight of the realm.
Yeah. And what else did we pick up from him? Mythos Tales.
Mythos Tales, okay. I mean, I don't know anything about it other than it's like it's a reskin or it's on in the same system as...
Sherlock Holmes. Cooperative puzzle solving.
And you didn't stab me, it being a co-op and all.
I know.
So what's going on there? Have you had a change of heart?
Well, you can't complain about me beating you by 1 point.
But then you can't beat me by 1 point. So we're left in the same boat.
Well, we've been enjoying Time Stories and other things like that. So, yeah, it was worth a punt. I think it was £10.
That's a lot.
It's rubbish. Doesn't matter.
For a board game, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I know. Board games are expensive, you know.
£12.
£12. No, it's £10.
So that was, you didn't really buy much on Saturday, did you?
I didn't, no.
I did check your temperature.
No, Friday, you're talking about.
You had a bump on the head recently, so you bought Tulip Bubble.
I did, yeah, that was on my list because I missed it at Essen, it sold out at Essen. So, yeah, I went and bought that on Friday.
That's from the same people that did Mini Rails?
Yes.
Is it a train game?
Yes. The trains are made of flowers.
I suppose that would be quite a comfortable journey.
Yes. But what was your haul of the con?
I didn't have a haul as such.
What was your game of the convention that we bought? Well,
the game of the convention is one that actually wasn't purchased at the convention. Isn't normally available to people that go to these sorts of conventions. It was Insane Clown Posse Presents The Quest for Shangri-La.
So, if you listen to our previous podcast about aircon, we were talking about this, and we have been debating doing a series of videos called The Quest for Shangri-La.
And then I went and found it on eBay.
Which kind of ruined that idea. It would have been funny, but no.
So, unless we scrub this section of the podcast and make like it never happened,
we're never going to do the quest for Shangri-La.
Unless maybe if you hide it behind the fridge, and then when we go to play it.
But we need to say thank you to Edward from Heavy Cardboard for muling that beast of a game from Denver to Birmingham.
Well, it shouldn't have been a beast. We did say it's probably the size of a Dominion box, but I don't really know.
You told me to tell him that. And when I went to see him, he said he nearly cried when it arrived because it was much bigger than that.
Well, fortunately, there was space in the box, so he managed to fit some shoes, a couple of old towels.
Pair of pants.
And I will return them.
Right, sometime.
At some point. But that was very good padding for the game.
Shall I mule those things back to him?
Yes.
When I go to Dallas in November.
If you put them in a board game pinata.
Right. So.
So it's basically, it's a bit like Talisman, right. Apparently.
But it looks very garish.
It looks very garish. It looks like it was made by a child.
Was it?
Well, no, to be honest, most of these games are made in the Middle East now.
Right, so they probably aren't made by small children.
They're not actually made in the Middle East, that'd be stupid. They're made in China, most games these days.
Right.
So they probably are made by children.
Right. Dodgy subject.
I'm not even going there.
You went there. Picked up the new Networks expansion, Teletime, which is all based off UK TV programmes.
That absolutely no one watches anymore. Not streaming, probably. Are we talking EastEnders?
Yeah.
Jim Will Fix It.
Oh, no. I think there were talks about Jimmy Savile going in there, and no.
He went in Room 101 instead.
Bring 'em By this year.
I didn't really see anything.
I didn't see a lot, and normally I love that. There was a lot of stuff, but it was all overpriced and available for £5 more in the hall at other board game retailers.
What game would that be?
Several things. Let's not talk about that. So picked up a few bits.
Anything for review you got over the weekend?
I did get some stuff for review. I got Picoco from Brain Games, the people who do Ice Call, Flicky Penguin stuff. But Picoco has no penguins, it's peacocks. And if I say any more words beginning with P, I'm going to pop.
Pickle. Pumpkin.
Picoco is a trick-taking game where you can see everyone's cards except for your own. And you're using the cards from the player on your left to play the tricks.
So you quite like that?
I did, and it looks amazing on the table. It's got these awesome plastic peacocks and you stick the cards in it and yeah, it looks beautiful. I like a bit of trick taking.
I don't understand trick taking games, which is why I always have a problem with them.
You always say that and then we play the ones you know and you know what you're doing.
I say that because it's true.
Right, for sale.
I'm okay, yeah.
Yeah, see.
But I'm not very good at that game.
Right.
Probably because I'm not very good at trick taking.
So pick that up. For review.
Can I make a point about Picoco?
Right.
Well, there's two things. Actually, one of the ladies that came to Board Game Guru's stall was talking about having picked up Picoco and that her friend, the designer of the game, was going to arrive the next day. So she was quite proud that she actually managed to get a copy of the game before the designer.
That's quite cool.
Well, I wanted to mention that it's a bit weird in its theme, because it appears that you're plucking feathers out of a rather beautiful creature until it's got one feather left, and at that point the game ends.
The round ends.
Game, yes.
3 rounds.
There's 3 rounds. Okay, the round ends.
But you know, and then you
get
birds.
You get 3 more peacocks in, and then you mutilate them. So by the end of our game, we'd pretty much rendered these male peacocks, because they're, yeah, those male peacocks.
Thank you for spoiling that game for me and anyone else that might be listening. So I picked up that. I picked up the Goblin game.
Gretchins.
Gretchins. I don't even want to pronounce it because I'm worried about doing it wrong. Gretchins by De Vere, which is a real-time dice-rolling beat-em-up.
Goblin. Vehicle violence.
Vehicular violence.
Vehicular violence. We've heard that before somewhere.
Yes.
I can't think where.
I'll tell you where in a minute.
That sounds quite cool.
It's Warhammer. It's licensed by Warhammer 40K. And all of the player carts with the little orcs in are slightly different. It's very neat. Looking forward to that.
I'm quite looking forward to that, to be honest.
Vehicular violence, we were talking about for Wreck and Ruin.
Actually, it's the term that they coined.
Yeah. He was there, Mark was there, and he's hit target on his Kickstarter.
He has. This is the third attempt.
And he smashed it in about a week or something.
So I think he got his campaign right
this time.
On this time. I'd be interested to see what he did differently.
Yeah, but that's good.
Mr. M, let us know. What did you do differently?
Yeah, we like Mark, so pleased for him. Also picked up some Hero Realms for review.
Now, we played that before at Essen, and we both went, eh?
Yeah, we played the base game at Essen, and felt it was too similar to Star Realms, which we liked, but it was too similar.
It's basically Star Realms in a fantasy setting.
But then, talking to White Wizard, they were saying they didn't want to overwhelm everyone initially with all the stuff that Hero Realms has.
So they were starting, they were doing like a soft launch.
Almost, yeah. So we've got the character packs. Each character comes with some different abilities and some that are permanently in play and some extra cards, different cards in their deck. And the campaign mode. So it kind of, yeah, it's like halfway between deck building and role playing.
So you get to roll over the abilities of your characters into a next game?
Some of your, when you do quests, you get treasures and they stay in your deck.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder how powerful one character, if you played two people time and time again, would the winning player from each game continue to get more and more powerful, and therefore the second player doesn't
get to win. You actually get upgrades for the equipment you've got as well.
Okay.
So like the hunter gets upgrades on their bow and stuff. Well, so I'm interested, very interested in actually playing it now that everything's out. We've got one of the boss decks as well.
The Lich.
Right, I was going to say, I can't remember. They gave me a choice between the dragon and the lich, and I was very torn, because the dragon was a red pack.
But you're going to go out of your comfort zone and try something that's not red.
I know, it was blue. The lich pack was blue.
Well done.
I know.
I'm very proud of you.
Good. What else did we pick up?
Well, on Sunday, I was talking to the very wonderful Andrew Harmon about the new game called Hieroglyphs. Ominous Hieroglyphs, in fact.
Ominous.
And we picked up, I picked up that. I picked it up for monies as well. I put some monies in his pocket and he gave me a game.
But there's no dominoes in Ominous.
No, there are no dominoes in Ominous.
So it's a bit misleading, really.
It is a bit misleading. The game Ominous has now created a complete subcategorization of board games, which is board games that don't contain dominoes.
Like King Domino.
Like King Domino. Doesn't have any kings in it either.
You've got a castle.
And actually, you don't have any dirty rascals.
Actually, the little wooden pieces, I think, are front of the kings.
Yeah, but the pieces are like the rectangular, but they're two squares and they have often have a line down the middle. So they're kind of like dominoes, but they don't have numbers on them.
Yeah.
Well, that breaks that theory. So games that don't contain dominoes are called nominoes.
Right. Yes.
Are there any other games that have components in their title but yet don't contain those elements?
Diceforge has got dice.
So one of the games you picked up this weekend was Risk. Does Risk contain any inherent risk?
It does, if I'm losing. I actually picked up a very old version of Risk. I currently own a 1962 version of Risk. I found a cheap one in the Bring and Buy that I thought was older than that, but it wasn't. It was 1967.
Shame. I wonder how much mould these games contain.
It smells quite mouldy.
You know how they've got that project in the US where they have this location that's got all sorts of different seeds? So when all the seeds in the world are dead and they want to bring back new species of plant, they can just go to this place and go, can I have some...
Risk seeds.
Rocket. In much the same way, if they want to re-establish any kind of mould that has been long extinct, they're going to come to you and rifle through your copies of Risk or Totopoly.
Yeah.
So if you need...
1829.
With real 1829 mould.
Yeah.
And diseases.
Yeah.
So get in touch.
Picked up Beer Empire from the Bring and Buy.
Don't you like beer?
Well, I don't really like beer, but yeah. I like vodka because it has potatoes in it. So it cancels one of your five a day.
Can you dip your chips in vodka?
Yes. Potato.
Can you dip the chips in the blood that drips?
Yes. And Forged in Steel.
Which one's Forged in Steel? Oh, that's the one I picked up at the Bring and Buy. Yeah,
I was very excited about that.
There was something good at Bring and Buy. Yeah, there was one game.
All right. God, excited about that. You'll hate it. It will make your brain leak through your ears. I didn't tell you that before you bought it, did I?
So, who exactly are you going to play this game with? Because it doesn't sound like it's going to be me.
Yeah, I kind of blew the cover on that. I shouldn't have said that until after we'd played it. Oh, I also picked up Festival of 1,000 Cats.
How many cats?
1,000.
That's a lot of cats.
And there's booze in it. It's cats and booze in a box.
There's an advert, isn't it? Yeah, booze and cats.
It's actually boots and cats, but, you know, it still works.
It does. Well, so I didn't really manage to play anything over the weekend because I was working for half of it and then wandering around taking pictures of people's shoes.
Unlucky frog shoes.
Yeah.
It was merely the fact that there was a fantastic array of colour in the shoes.
Maybe in Scotland they don't have coloured shoes.
Well, no, because she had purple shoes.
Well, maybe Charlotte had purple maybe shoes. It's just frowned upon. You have to go over the border. Not that there is one.
I think there was a sign, wasn't there, when we last drove up there?
Is it you have to drive over the Antonine Wall once you're over the Antonine Wall?
Made of turf.
It was made of turf. It still is made of turf.
Well, we'll be able to find out when we go to Tabletop Scotland, hopefully.
Where's that?
Perth. Am I right?
It is in Perth.
Yay!
But not that Australian Perth.
No.
That
Scottish.
Scottish Perth.
And when is it?
I think it's the first weekend of September.
Yes.
I don't really know anything about the convention, but I'm quite excited to go to Scotland
And go to Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
See some friends. See some friends. But there's lots of cool people going to Tabletop Scotland.
Like?
Us.
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
If they have vegetarian haggis.
Oh, yeah.
That will seal the deal for me.
Right. We will. I promise you, when we go to Scotland, we will find vegetarian haggis.
Apparently, haggis is pretty much vegetarian anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we can find vegetarian haggis in Scotland, then the vegetarian food will be marginally better than it was at Expo.
The vegetarian food is never good at Expo.
You could have curry or curry. And I don't like curry.
So you ate paper?
Almost. I had nachos. I had cold nachos.
Well, and someone's actually finally revealed that it's not actually the organisers of UK Games Expo that deal with the food in the food court or hire the food exhibitors. People who have their food on display. It's actually the Hilton. So if you don't like some of the vegetarian food, in fact, if you don't like the meat food, if you think that was a bit
rubbish,
let them know.
Yeah, but let the Hilton know, not UK Games Expo.
Because I think we mentioned to them several times that the food's a problem, but clearly they can't do anything about it if they aren't the people that are booking traders. So there we go. Talk to the Hilton.
I was kind of glad when Expo expanded to the NEC because then we had Subways and Wetherspoons, at least, as options.
Or Nando's.
Or Nando's.
Which has more vegetarian options than meat options.
Yes.
Despite being a chicken restaurant.
Yeah. Other chicken restaurants are available.
If you feel like chicken hunting, pop over to the Genting Arena area and have yourself a mushroom and halloumi wrap.
So, bearing in mind you now own two Insane Clown Posse games, are you going to design a chicken hunting game?
I think, given that we've seen that 5-minute chase over the weekend, that if they have any kind of good success with it, and I think they will, I think their next game could be a reskin called Chicken Hunting.
Okay.
Where
instead of hunting the opposing team,
as juggalos, you want to get through the crime-filled streets of Detroit back to your safe pad, and on the way you have to collect three items: bottle of Fago, some sea salts, smelling salts from
bath salts. Get it right, otherwise the joke's not funny.
bath salts from a street vendor.
Vendors are available.
Other salts are available, and probably a bucket of chicken,
right?
Or vegan haggis, whichever.
Yeah,
that was a little joke there that fell on its ass.
A bit like me on Saturday.
Oh, yes. Well done. Well done for
falling off the table.
Yeah, well done for
I didn't fall off the table. The table collapsed under me.
That's just the same story from a different perspective. Yay! So it's nice to be home. And now that we've got all these games, maybe, do you want to play them? I mean, tonight is normally game night.
Don't even like board games.
I don't like board games. I think they're rubbish.
Well, I want to finish Charterstone.
So, two games.
Two games left. And I kind of feel bad saying that, but the problem is that's all we've been playing recently.
Yeah, but Josh and
Other
Emma,
board games are available.
There are many other board games, at least four. The problem is both Josh and Emma seem to be doing rather well. And seeming at this point, the only way to stop them winning the campaign is to never play ever again.
But at the moment, Emma can't win, but I can't say anything about that because I don't want to put spoilers out there.
Oh, yeah. we're not allowed to talk.
We're not allowed to talk about Charterstone.
Charterstone is a game.
Yes. You played 12 games. Oh, we've played
people,
10.
People don't know about that either.
Oh, have I just ruined it?
I think so. It's a deck builder, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a deck builder built in space.
Produced by the Insane Clown Posse.
In the Middle Ages.
Yes.
So you've got all these games. You're going to do an in-depth walkthrough of the quest for Shangri-La in the coming weeks.
Like Talisman, but a bit more shit. Am I even allowed to swear? Oh, my word.
It's your podcast.
Right.
You can say what you like, but please do not swear.
Right. You are live on the microphone.
Please do not board game.
It's kind of live for us, but it's not live for anyone else, is it?
No.
Right.
It's alive.
So, yes, UK Games Expo. Loads of staff, loads of people, loads of stands.
Oh, right. So let's just have a quick roll call of all the people that we saw, met and thought were lovely. And the people that we didn't think were lovely, we won't mention.
Yes.
Which will probably be quite a lot of people.
Brain Games had Ice Cold 2. They as were. Well as Picoco.
It's nice to have a sequel.
Yeah.
Is it one of those sequels that's better than the original, like Terminator 2?
Possibly. Terminator 2 is not better than Terminator 1.
It's got...
No. I can see there being problems now. Now the truth comes out. We have to do this podcast for me to discover these truths.
I thought everyone was all about Terminator 2.
No. Your boots and your motorcycle.
So, yeah, I thought everyone liked Terminator 2 better.
It's good, but it's not better than the original in no way, shape or form.
I mean, like, Highlander's a good film, but Highlander 2 is far superior.
I liked how long you tried not to laugh there. So, people we saw that were cool. We saw Brain Games with Picoco and Ice Cold 2. We saw Andy from Yay Games with Ominous Hieroglyphs.
And also, actually, just a quick reminder to you as well as me, he gave us a copy of Ominous to drop off to the Bastard Cafe, which we are, don't say bastard, we are live, to the Bastard Cafe in Copenhagen, which we'll be visiting in a little under 2 weeks' time.
2 weeks. 2 weeks today we fly out.
So Ominous will be packed in tightly with some probably smelly pants and old shoes. And it'll be winging
maybe
its way.
Maybe Edward's ones.
Yes. Well, if Edward has any old smelly pants left in Copenhagen, because I understand he's been there this week, then we'll be sure to pack those in the box and deliver it safely. I actually played a game of Ominous this weekend.
I just, like, everyone was clicking on me the game we played. I played it at Essen a couple of years ago with Daniel and Stu.
Is that how you feel about heavy strategy games where you have to be mean? Everybody's picking on me.
Like, literally, I was just like, dudes, what's going on? And that's why I've not played it since.
They think you're a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
We've been to how many shows have we been to where Yay Games have appeared?
Everywhere. He's everywhere. We're everywhere.
We saw him in Spielvar and Messer.
Yeah.
Just like wandering around and terrorising people.
It was his birthday as well.
Yeah, terrorising people with his smile.
Yeah. He's always so happy. Even on Sunday, he was really happy. Everyone else is like, and he's like, yay!
What sort of come down are you going to have after 3 days of smiling? Monday, you're just going to be like running over children. And
Who else did we see? We saw Gary from Oligarchy.
And his harem.
I don't know how Vince and Asian would feel about being described as a harem, but, you know.
His crew.
Crew. His posse. We saw Mark with Last One In. You should check that out on Kickstarter.
And in real life. We've played it in real life.
And, in fact, there's a walkthrough on the website.
Your website?
My website.
Oh, I'll check it out.
Well, check it out. And who else did we see? Oh, we saw Night Lancer from Adversity Games.
That's a real person.
Yes.
It's a really pretty game.
It's so pretty.
It's a really well thought out game. I hope that we get to play it again. But we can't at the moment because we had to send the prototype on to someone else.
Yes. That's on Kickstarter at the moment. It is. And there's a walkthrough up on the site for that.
What website is that?
My website. Your website. Our website.
iPlayRed.co.uk.
Yes.
We saw that. What a very lovely man. Who's the lovely man?
Which one?
Matt Coward.
Oh, Matt. Yes.
He's very Matt.
He wasn't selling anything, though. Well, he might have been selling spice carts, but...
Oh, yeah, that Matt. Yeah, see, if we don't... We can't be friends with people that aren't exhibitors.
Is that the new rule?
That's exhibitors or other press. Everyone else, no.
What else? Who else did we see that we like? No one.
No one.
Do you just hate everyone?
Today, I hate everyone. There was just so many lovely people there.
Fiendborn. Tom from Fiendborn, Escape the Dark Castle.
Which we still need to win.
Yep, one day. One day we will win it.
That's going.
Oh, and we picked up the new printing of High Society from Osprey Games.
Is that the sequel or the unofficial sequel to Grass?
Yes. we've played the original game. This is basically a reskin. No, it's not even a reskin. It's just a reprint of the Reina Knizia game, High Society, but with beautiful artwork.
Because, you know, if you've got a good game, you just want to make it appeal to a more modern audience.
I do, yeah. See, I mean, that's what they did with Brass, really, wasn't it?
So how do you feel about that?
Brass?
You're taking a game which you already like, and you're just presenting it in a different way.
I find it annoying because, you know, if I've got the old one, I still need to buy the new one.
This is, you had it on VHS, you bought it on Blu-ray.
No, you bought it on DVD, and now you need to buy it on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Because it comes with extras and a commentary from the designer.
From Brian Blessed.
Yeah. I think we're just rambling now. I think pretty much what you've said is we saw some stuff.
Saw some people.
We bought some stuff.
Saw some games.
And now the work begins.
Yes.
So I think what we're going to do is we're going to say it's been nice.
It's been
nice having you round.
Lovely.
It's really good to see you. But I have got work in the morning. If you could please go.
So we're going to go and hopefully finish our Charterstone campaign tonight so that we can actually play other games because other games are available.
Wish us luck. Yeah. I mean, I'm clearly going to win all of the campaign because I've only won three games.
Ooh, you've won three.
Yeah.
See, Josh has won three and I've won four.
So all I need to do is win 2-1 games.
Ooh, exciting.
Good luck. I really do wish you luck.
Yeah, I wish you good luck. Loser.
Loser.
So, right, we're going to say goodbye now.
Goodbye now.
Check me out on the website, which is...
iPlayRed.co.uk.
Instagram.
iPlayRed.
Twitter.
iPlayRed Gaming.
Facebook.
iPlayRed Gaming.
Patreon.
I Play Red.
And Podblast. Ooh.
What's a Podblast? In your face.
God, dear. See, look, you've got all these ICP games. You get violent.
Bit of violence, eh? It's a Podbean.
Oh, Podbean. Yes. Sorry. On Podbean.
You get some magic beans and you cast them into the earth and it grows audio.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So, basically, I Play Red pretty much everywhere. Say hello, like, retweet, share, follow if you want to be a stalker. That's fine with me.
10 paces behind.
And it would be great if you could chuck a couple of dollars at the Patreon.
Dollars.
Dollars, yeah, it's all in dollars. It's a bit weird.
We're going to just have a lot of massive change pot that you're going to use at BGGCon, just of dollars.
Yeah.
But like dollars, virtual dollars.
Yeah. A bit like Bitcoin.
Doesn't exist.
Right. Thank you for listening. If you made it this far, well done. And bye!